Welcome to Divorce Explained, the podcast where we answer your questions and navigate the process of divorce together. Sharing real stories and personal experiences, this is your guide through it all. With your hosts, family law specialist Steve Benmore and divorce lawyer and strategist Leanne Townsend.
So today's subject is the child tax benefit or the Canada child benefit. And for those of you that are wondering, well, what's it really called? The answer is the government of Canada seems to have this real joyride of changing the name. But for today, let's just call it a child tax benefit. And what is this thing? This child tax benefit is a federal government benefit payable to a parent who is the primary parent of a child. The reason we're talking about it is because when a couple is together and it's paid to the lower earning spouse in the household, there's really no debate. Everybody's happy. But what happens when a couple splits up, the debate is who gets it. So let's first talk about what is this thing. This thing, the child tax benefit, is a monetary sum that the government of Canada pays to a parent of a child under the age of 18, so long as certain preconditions are met. And the amount that's paid is based on the income of that primary parent. And so according to my records, in 2020, that worked out to $6,639 a year, or roughly $553 per month per child. So two children, $12,000. Three children, $18,000. So first of all, what's the lowest income that you could earn to get that full amount? Because obviously the higher income, the amount gets reduced. And so the lowest income is an income under $31,000. And of course, the numbers that I'm giving today change from year to year, but based on my current information about a few years ago, it was $31,000. And the four preconditions to get this money are that parent, whether they're still with the other parent living together or they are apart, is that they are a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident, that they have a child living with them, that they reside in Canada, and that they are primarily responsible for the child. So when a couple splits up, it's not uncommon for both of them to say, well, I want the child tax benefit. It's a lot of money. And if there's two children, that's $12,000. If there's three children, 18, again, according to some of those preconditions, including the income cap. Okay. And so then the question becomes, who gets it? And these are often things that people don't think about. And that's the problem. And the reason for our IG Live today is people need to think about this. Because if they don't think about it, it can create some really serious problems in the future. So when people do a sort of back of the envelope agreement with the person that they're splitting up with, or they do a downloaded separation agreement from the internet, and they don't turn their minds to this, this could be a real problem. And sometimes it's an even bigger problem when both parents think they're going to get it, both parents demand the government to give it, and now the government may have paid both and wants it back from one. And that's a big problem. So the smarter route to go is when a couple splits up, first of all, to have a parenting schedule, which clearly recognizes which is the primary parent, if there's going to be one. And if there's going to be shared parenting, to turn their minds to how to share the child tax benefit. And one way to share the child tax benefit is to recognize who's the one that's actually going to get it. Because some people are stupid enough to say, well, I don't want her to get it. Well, they don't get it. And then she doesn't get it because they've reached an agreement that says that she doesn't get it because he's the primary parent. And so it's very important that the agreement itself not only establish who is the primary parent, but that it also takes into consideration the entitlement of the primary parent to get the child tax benefit, or if there's going to be two parents that are primary parents because they're sharing custody of the children, for it to be specified and for this to actually be matching what the guidelines are. And make no mistake for our viewers, you cannot just manufacture who is the primary parent, and you cannot tell the government of Canada who gets a child tax benefit. And that's precisely why legal advice is really important, to make sure that the agreement itself matches what will likely occur once the government of Canada gets the agreement, because we're talking about a lot of money. Because if the amount really is $500 a month per child, which is $18,000 for three children, and the children are young, you could be looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars in child tax benefits. And that's not even talking about some of the other tax benefits that occur, that exist, that we can get into later. But so my question to you is, Leanne, have clients knocked on your door and talked to you about it? Or is this one of those things that nobody talks about and nobody really addresses until, of course, it's too late?
I mean, I've had both situations. I mean, certainly it's something that I bring up with clients and address, you know, when I'm involved in their file and we're doing a separation agreement. But I've had clients, you know, come to me with kitchen table separation agreements where it's definitely not something that was considered at all. And I've had clients who fought like very ruthlessly almost because for their right to want to claim that child tax benefit. I did have a client at one point a couple years ago, and he and his wife had four children, and he was clearly the breadwinner, or had been the primary breadwinner in the family, and the wife had been more the caregiver. But upon separation, she was now, you know, forced back into the workforce as well, and she was working. The fact that she was collecting that child tax benefit was a real sore spot to him. He was very upset about it, and in all our negotiations and discussion of child support and spousal support and those issues, he was always bringing up that she was getting this money for four children, and you know, it was a real sore spot for him. And I had to explain to him, you know, why she was entitled to it rather than him, because he wasn't even living in the country. She was definitely the primary caregiver. There was no dispute that she
was the primary caregiver. He would never have even been qualified for it, because he's not a resident of Canada.
No, exactly. And, you know, but yet it was something that he, you know, was very upset about. So I do find for some clients, you know, it is a real sore spot, and I have to educate them on, you know, why they may not qualify for it and their spouse does. And so they may not like the fact that their former spouse is getting this additional money, but they don't qualify. So they need to let that one go. But it's, you know, it's something that comes up, you know, in any file with children. So it's an important issue. So I'm glad we're discussing it, because it is something everyone needs to know about and be educated on.
And it actually gets even worse. If we're going to talk about irritations and people being irritated by the fact that their ex is getting it and they're not, let's take it one step further. If the children live with one parent, let's just say 60% of the time, causing them to be the primary parent, and the other parent is not the primary parent, and that parent earns a good income, and so therefore would otherwise not qualify for the child tax benefit, but the primary parent would qualify for the maximum child tax benefit. And let's just say, for argument's sake, there's three children, so it's $18,000 tax-free a year, which quite frankly could easily be $25,000 in pre-tax dollars. The irritation would potentially come from the fact that child support is payable by the non-primary parent to the primary parent, irrespective of the child tax benefit. And so we have to explain to the non-primary parent that the fact that the other parent is getting $18,000 per year for three children from the government of Canada doesn't reduce his child support obligation to her. Now, it does get considered for the purposes of spousal support, and it may be considered for the purposes of dividing up the children's extra expenses. But it still doesn't change the irritation that the paying spouse, the paying parent of child support, does not only not get that money, but doesn't get credit for that money in the calculation of child support. So there's reason for the irritation. Now, if I had to defend Justin Trudeau and his decision to grant this money, and if I had to say something to the child support payor who's not getting the benefit, I would say that money was given by the government of Canada to low-income earning parents in order to give the children a better quality of life given the low income. And the good news is that money will trickle in to the children's quality of living, which will be supplemented by your child support. And that's the only real logical and factual explanation for why this is an appropriate outcome. That is why the mother is getting it, or if the father is the one getting it, and why the child support is in addition to that. And that's really to ensure that there's proper funding available for the children to have a quality of living.
And I think it's important for people to understand this. This is an issue where it is helpful to get proper legal advice, because I've had very stringent arguments sometimes with clients who, you know, went on Google and were doing their own little Google search, and something on Google was telling them that the child tax benefit money should cause their child support to be lowered. And I've had to get into big debates with some clients on that issue. So there's incorrect or inaccurate information out there in Google land, as there often is on legal issues, and this is one of them. So, you know, don't just think that, you know, because you Googled it, that that's the correct answer. It's important to speak to a lawyer to really get the correct answer for your situation.
Right. And I'll tell you, the separation agreements that we do oftentimes have a section in it that deals specifically with the tax benefits. And I just did one the other day, and it specifically said that this parent is getting all of these benefits. And I did another one where it said, for this child, this parent gets all of these benefits. And for this other child, the other parent gets, and then I listed the tax benefits and the tax credits. And there's more than just the child tax benefit. There's the eligible dependent credit, which reduces one's taxable amount payable. But the point of the matter is, this is one of those areas where it's a cross section between family law and tax law. And nobody should be listening to this IG video as a replacement for legal or tax advice, because every case is unique and the circumstances of each case not only require proper professional advice, but then when it comes to the drafting of any agreement or court order, it needs to be specific to the facts of that case.
No, that's absolutely true. There was something that I was going to add, and it's completely gone out of my mind. And I wish I thought it was an important point, but I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me, but it's not coming to me right now.
Well, it's a fairly dry topic, not one that certainly any movie has been made about.
No.
But it is definitely something worthy of discussion and definitely worthy of consideration if you're separated. And let me just add one more point.
And whatever I remember tonight, so I'll add it after.
Okay. Whatever the parenting schedule may be or may have been when a couple splits up, oftentimes the parenting schedule changes over the course of time. And if and when it does, it's important that the child tax benefit be reconsidered as well. So for example, if there were three children and all of them lived with one parent, and then subsequently one moved over and lived with the other parent, all of a sudden this provides that other parent with a number of different tax benefits that were not pre-existing, given the change in the residential arrangement regarding one or potentially more children. And so it's the sort of thing that doesn't just get looked at once and that's it for all times. It needs to be looked at annually during the course of the minority of children, because this is a benefit that's good until the children, each of them, is 18.
Yeah, and the point I was going to add is that most people generally like to fly under the radar of CRA. I think most people out there, when they're filing their tax returns and whatnot, the last thing they're really wanting to do is attract the attention of CRA to their taxes. And so that's, again, why it's important to address these issues, you know, through your lawyers in your separation agreements, because if both parties go and claim the child tax benefit, you know, that may get flagged at CRA for them to look a little more closely at yours and your spouse's tax returns. And, you know, they may make a finding that you don't like, and it may cause them to open up other things that perhaps, you know, are of concern to them. So again, you don't want to get your file flagged unnecessarily. So you do it properly through lawyers.
Yeah, and last thing you want is to be in a situation where there's a fight between CRA and both parents. And it happens a lot where nobody dealt with a child tax benefit in any agreement, and then one person doesn't file for a number of years. Let's call that person the primary parent. And the other parent, who's not the primary parent, filed incorrectly to say that that person is the primary parent. And then along comes the other parent who files taxes years later and says, what are you talking about? I was the primary parent. Not only did the other person falsify, but I didn't get the benefits. So the other person got the benefits. I didn't get the benefits. I'm entitled to the benefits. So now CRA goes after the first person, and then the person that should have filed and got the benefits didn't. It's a mess. So I completely echo Leanne's comments that it's preferable to deal with this at the front end and not leave it to people to bicker over and make CRA the middle of this dispute.
Yeah, nobody wants to owe money to CRA, so I think it's good to be proactive.
Very good. And there you have it, child tax benefit and divorce in Canada. It's a pleasure talking to you, Leanne. We'll see everybody next week.
Yes, bye for now. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Divorce Explained. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to head on over to Instagram and follow at Steve Benmore and at Leanne Townsend Life for more. And if you're looking for specific divorce services, you can visit benmore.com and leannetownsend.ca. We hope today's episode made you feel informed and inspired as you move along through your divorce journey. Tune in next week for Divorce Explained.